tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. COVID shots for some of the youngest Americans getting the green light. Late today, the CDC recommending vaccines for 18 million babies, toddlers, and preschoolers. States already pre-ordering shots from Pfizer and Moderna. Pfizer requiring a three-shot series, Moderna two shots, but there are key differences when it comes to dosing. President Biden calling the move a monumental step forward, but health officials could face an uphill battle to convince hesitant parents to get their kids vaccinated. And the timing tonight, when those first shots could start rolling out next week. The urgent search for several Americans missing in Ukraine. What we're learning about the two who've been captured and a third who's a 20-year veteran of the U.S. military. Plus,
this is the weapon that Ukraine says is making so much difference in its war with Russia.
American firepower on the front lines. Our team across Ukraine with a firsthand look. The summer travel nightmare. More than 4,000 flights delayed or canceled just today. As air travel passes pre-pandemic levels, frustration mounting as plans are ruined. What's causing it? And what the TSA says it will do to make sure the busy 4th of July travel weekend goes smoothly. Sweltering heat for millions this Father's Day weekend, increasing fire danger in the West. And now a new heat wave is on the way for the work week. Rob Marciano timing it out. New details in the Uvalde Elementary School massacre. Could police have stopped the shooter before he entered the school? The new report on why an officer may have passed up his shot. This as Uvalde families demand action. Tonight, a reality check on where bipartisan gun talks stand. The battle to bring down gas prices. What steps the federal government might take, but will they make a difference? President Biden's bike scare. What happened when his foot got stuck in the pedal and how he's doing now? And a special Father's Day to remember as a son gives his dad the gift of life.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. We have several developing stories tonight. The new information on the three Americans missing in Ukraine, what we're now learning. But we start here with the developments late today, just before we came on the air. The CDC giving the green light for COVID shots for some of America's youngest children. President Biden calling it a monumental step forward in our nation's fight against the virus. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky agreeing with the findings of a CDC panel today. That group voted unanimously to recommend the shots, one member saying they had more information available now than they often do for other vaccines. 18 million children from 6 months to 5 years old are now eligible. The first doses are expected to start going into arms early next week. The CDC telling parents that even if their kids have had COVID, they should still get vaccinated. ABC's Elwin Lopez leading us off from CDC headquarters in Atlanta.
Tonight, 18 million children across the country will soon be able to roll up their sleeves.
12 yeses, zero noes, and so the motion would pass the stand.
A panel of CDC advisors unanimously recommending both the Moderna and Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines for children 6 months and older. Parents like Mira, eager to get her seven-month-old that first jab.
I would definitely vaccinate her. The last 2-3 years were very hard for everyone, and I think the vaccination changed everything.
And tonight, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky giving that final go-ahead.
I know many parents with very young children have been anticipating this day.
It comes a day after the FDA greenlit both vaccines for emergency use in young children. Moderna's requires two shots, each one a fourth of the adult dose taken about a month apart. Pfizer's requires three, each one a tenth of the adult dose over the course of around 3 months.
We worked very hard to get the dose just right. So that it provides an immune response that's likely to provide protection, but also minimizes side effects that are seen with the vaccine.
Still, officials insist parents can't go wrong with either the Pfizer or Moderna shot.
The correct answer here is whatever vaccine your healthcare provider, pediatrician has, that's what I would give my child.
With the imminent rollout, health experts worry about facing another hurdle, getting parents on board. In a recent survey, 27% with children under the age of five said they would definitely not get their kids vaccinated.
After the pandemic, we've all kind of been exposed. The rate of sickness, especially in her age, is way down. So I don't really see a reason for the vaccination.
Certainly some hesitation among parents. Elwin Lopez joining us now from outside the CDC. And Elwin, you're learning more about the rollout here and the timing on when parents can get those first shots in young children.
Yeah, shipments of those vaccines are already on the move and could be administered as early as Monday. Now, the state of Florida did not pre-order those vaccines, but did allow doctors to order them yesterday. The White House says it could take additional days for shipments to arrive there.
All right, Elwin, thank you. We move on now to the war in Ukraine and the new information on those missing Americans. All three are former service members. The State Department says it's seen the videos of two Americans shown on Russian state-controlled media, and it's closely monitoring the situation. The family of a third American volunteer missing in Ukraine now says they have not heard from him since April. And tonight, for the first time, our ABC News team on the ground seeing some of that American artillery, the firepower recently sent to Ukraine, in action. ABC's Britt Klenet from Ukraine tonight.
Tonight, the desperate search for three American volunteer soldiers missing in Ukraine. The family of retired Marine Captain Grady Kerpas, missing since late April, confirming the disappearance of the decorated Iraq combat veteran.
We're not going to quit trying to find Grady. We will continue to search.
Two other American volunteers, Alexandra Drewke and Andy Quinn, this week also reported missing.
The State Department and others will attempt to do all they can to locate these individuals and eventually repatriate them. But of course, this takes place in the context of the very difficult diplomatic relations right now between us and Russia.
These proof-of-life videos released by state-run media in Russia show Drewke and Quinn being held captive by Russian forces, reportedly in eastern Ukraine.
Mom, I just want to let you know that I'm alive, and I hope to be back home as soon as I can be. So.
Drewke's family happy just to see him alive.
We are very much encouraged here because that is Alex's posture, his body language, and most importantly, it's his deep, rich baritone voice.
Both men also recorded parroting Russian propaganda, presumably forced to do so. ABC News won't air the content of those messages. In the eastern Donbass region, this war of attrition grinds on. Our James Longman today with exclusive network access to a Ukrainian artillery position there, seeing U.S.-provided howitzers in action, firing on Russian positions.
That is the M777 U.S.-made howitzer. It is the long-range piece of artillery which Ukraine says is making so much difference to its war. Once you fire, you've got to move. And the beauty of this particular gun is that it's lighter than anything that the Ukrainians have got, so it can be moved out of position before the Russians reply.
But Ukraine will have its work cut out for it. Vladimir Putin's forces are now likely renewing efforts to take the entire eastern region of Donetsk, according to the UK Defence Ministry.
And those incredible challenges remain. Britt Klenet joining us now from the southern port of Odessa. And Britt, the State Department, we've heard they've repeatedly warned Americans not to travel to Ukraine. But what are they actually doing to try to help those three missing men?
Well, firstly, you might be able to hear the air raid sirens around me. That's a warning that there's shelling in the area and a reminder that this war rages on. But as for those three fighters, the State Department has seen those videos and they're working with Ukrainian authorities. It's thought that there are thousands of unregulated foreign volunteers fighting in Ukraine. And the worry is that Russia won't entitle them to the same protection as prisoners of war under international law. So for those families, a very anxious wait for news, Whit.
All right, Britt, our thanks to you and the entire team on the ground there in Ukraine. Thank you. Meantime, back here at home in the summer travel season, kicking into high gear, millions on the move, passing pre-pandemic levels now, but many describing nightmare experiences with crowded airports and thousands of flights delayed or canceled. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
Tonight, the summer travel mess kicking into high gear as demand soars past pre-pandemic levels.
Going to baggage claim right now. We checked the bags. Yeah. So we'll be there waiting longer. About like a 12-hour travel experience.
Already today, over 4,000 flights delayed or canceled nationwide. The TSA screening more than 2.4 million people in the U.S. Friday, the most since Thanksgiving weekend.
There's just not a lot of slack in the airline systems for this summer.
Yvonne McGee and Gloria Brown feeling that effect firsthand, trying to fly to Philly when their flight was delayed.
This is unacceptable. We booked these flights a month and a half ago.
Earlier this week, bad weather at some of the country's largest hubs in the Northeast led to a ripple of cancellations, over 3,200 total in the U.S. since Thursday.
The first notification said your flight's delayed. The very second text was, actually, it's canceled.
industry experts say a severe staff shortage from air traffic control to cockpits is largely to blame.
They don't have enough employees to be able to support the summer crush.
And hoping to avoid a repeat of the mass cancellations on Memorial Day weekend, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg met with airline executives this week, urging them to fix the disruptions and better communicate with customers.
This is why you saw a month or two ago many airlines taking the drastic step of actually trimming their summer flight schedules.
And this upcoming July 4th holiday is expected to be even busier than last year. So tonight, the TSA says employees will be working overtime, and it'll take officers from less busy airports and staff them at busier ones if needed. Whit?
Really a cascade of issues they have to address. Andrew, thank you. Tonight, millions across the country bracing for a dangerous heat wave, hot, dry, and windy conditions increasing the fire danger in the West. This wildfire outside Salt Lake City forced the partial closure of Interstate 80 on Friday. Let's get right to ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. And Rob, time out this heat for us.
Well, for starters, a north wind bringing in cool air across parts of the east, at least for now. That's temporary because the heat is rebuilding in the central U.S. as we get into Father's Day itself. Here it is, temperatures into the 90s, maybe up and over 100 degrees as far north as Fargo. So from the Canadian border all the way down to Texas, that's where the dangerous heat builds. And then, as you can see here, from Chicago, gets in the upper 90s on Tuesday, to Raleigh and Atlanta on Wednesday, another dangerous heat wave coming, and more red flag warnings in the west with tropical moisture finally getting into New Mexico. Whit.
All right, Rob, thank you. New details tonight about the Uvalde school shooting. We're now learning that a Uvalde City police officer armed with an AR-15 style rifle reportedly hesitated when he had a brief chance to shoot the gunman before he entered the school. This as bipartisan efforts continue on gun reform and what President Biden is now saying. Here's ABC's Zareen Shaw.
Tonight, sources telling ABC News a Uvalde police officer armed with an AR-15 rifle had the chance to take a shot at the gunman before entering the school, but did not open fire out of fears he may injure children. The New York Times first reporting that decision, saying officers saw the gunman shooting outside Robb Elementary School, but initially thinking shots were directed at them. The officer said they took cover behind a police car and held off shooting back, a chief sheriff's deputy telling the Times. According to the officers, they didn't engage back because in the background there was kids playing and they were scared of hitting the kids. This as protesters today continue to demand answers. President Biden today weighing in on the push for gun reform.
I am happy with progress. I'm prepared to sign it and I'm ready to go.
A bipartisan group of senators now working on legislation after agreeing on a framework, including strengthening background checks. But some Republicans are concerned about red flag laws and the so-called boyfriend loophole. Senator John Cornyn, the lead Republican negotiator, says if they can settle on those two issues, they are on their way.
So you might ask, what is on the table?
But Cornyn loudly booed while speaking at the Texas Republican Convention Friday.
Texas officials are holding panels investigating what happened the day of the shooting. Those hearings will pick up again on Monday. And the big question right now is if Chief Arredondo will testify. Whit.
All right, Zareen, thank you. Next year tonight, frightening moments at a shopping mall in Virginia. Reports of shots fired sent people running for cover late today. Authorities say it all stemmed from a fight and one man discharged a weapon. Police telling people to avoid the area of Tyson's Corner Mall. Nobody was actually hit by gunfire, but three people were hurt amid the panic. Tonight, millions of Americans are feeling the financial squeeze of runaway inflation, with prices rising at the fastest pace in 40 years. Government officials now looking for ways to ease some of that pain, but will it work? Here's ABC's Deirdre Bolta.
Tonight, Americans squeezed on near record gasoline prices, still perilously close to $5 per gallon.
To do anything, it's just so much harder now because it's so much more expensive for literally everything.
The price of fuel up 60% from this time last year. With inflation at the top of Americans' worry list, President Biden is blaming big oil, telling our Mary Bruce.
So if you just based on what a barrel of oil costs in that case, it should not be decided to make an exorbitant profit.
Experts say that may be part of higher gasoline prices, but the energy crunch started more than 2 years ago during the pandemic.
Americans abruptly stopped driving as much and planes stopped flying as much. That demand plummeted.
which cause refineries to lose billions of dollars and shut down as a result. And these refineries, in many cases, are permanently shut down.
Lawmakers and industry groups are proposing at least three remedies: gas rebate cards, a gas tax holiday, or invoking the Defense Production Act to get those refineries back up to speed. As to other effects on your wallet?
The biggest pressure on household budgets is because the biggest increases in prices are in categories that are necessities. Shelter, food, and energy have been the most consistent increases.
The price of boneless chicken breast up almost 28%. A gallon of milk up more than 20%. And rent for a one-bedroom apartment is up 25.5% year on year.
To be sure, the Biden administration is downplaying the possibility of recession, citing the strong U.S. labor market. But if business leaders lose confidence and hire less, that could make any potential slowdown even worse. Wint.
And that is the concern. Deirdre, thank you. And be sure to tune into This Week tomorrow morning. George Stephanopoulos speaks exclusively with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen about the Biden administration's plans for the economy and growing fears of a recession. Well, a scare for President Biden today when he fell off his bicycle in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. The 79-year-old was stopping to talk to reporters when you see there his foot got caught in the pedal guard. As he was dismounting his bike, he quickly got to his feet. Later on his way out of church, the president repeated that he was doing just fine and hopped in place several times to prove it. There is much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. The frantic effort to rescue victims in a deadly boat collision near Miami. And the tragedy in Philadelphia when a building caves in, trapping firefighters.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Philadelphia firefighters are grieving tonight after losing one of their own. Crews were called to a burning building early this morning. They were able to put the fire out before the building caved in. Four firefighters and a city inspector were rescued, but one firefighter was killed. Lieutenant Sean Williamson was 51. He'd been with the department for 27 years. Next, a deadly accident off the Florida coast. The Coast Guard says two boats collided near Key Biscayne late last night. 12 people were tossed into the water. 10 were rescued and taken to area hospitals, some by helicopter, but two bodies were recovered later. When we come back here, why a former number one won't be playing at Wimbledon. And a freight train derailment causes extensive damage and one huge mess. To the index now, and Naomi Osaka, former world number one tennis player, has pulled out of Wimbledon because of a lingering injury to her left Achilles tendon. Osaka has not played since struggling in a first-round loss at the French Open, and her ranking has slipped to 43rd. Tonight, significant damage is reported to freight tracks north of Lawrence, Kansas, after a serious derailment there. 20 cars detached from the engine yesterday, dumping coal all over the track bed. Rail traffic was halted in the area, but no one was hurt. The cause is under investigation. When we come back, a son gives his dad the ultimate Father's Day gift. Finally tonight, on this Father's Day Eve, the special bond and the extraordinary gift.
Jason James and his son Michael Evans have always shared a special bond.
I love him to the moon and back.
My dad's always been selfless. He's always taken care of us.
The pair inseparable from graduations to vacations until the family received some troubling news. Jason was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease.
I started dialysis last year, August, because my kidney function in terms of percentage filtration went down to 4%.
That's when his 23-year-old son considered the ultimate selfless act, offering his dad the gift of life.
I saw that like he was, you know, going through that, and like, you know, it's just terrible to see. So I thought about it immediately. He would definitely do more than a kidney for me. It means a lot to me.
Testing confirmed Michael Evans was able to become a kidney donor for his dad. Doctors at HCA Florida Largo Hospital Transplant Center performed a successful surgery. Following the transplant, the emotional reunion.
That's quick. I know you're my little Schwarzenegger.
You're doing great.
Jason taking his first steps after surgery.
Yay!
And returning home.
Praise the Lord. Thank you all.
Yes.
Just in time for a Father's Day they'll never forget.
What do I say to my son, Mike? You gave me a second chance at life. And that's the best thing a son could do for a father. I really appreciate and love you.
What a story. And we can see that bond. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I'm Wade Johnson in New York. I'll see you on GMA in the morning. Good night.